This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 5. I want to commence reading at verse 21. St. Mark, chapter 5. And we want to commence reading at verse 21. Recorded are these words. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. For just a little while, I want to talk about Jesus' power over sickness. Jesus' power over sickness. The interesting thing about this text is it's a continuation of the lesson Jesus is teaching his disciples. If you would allow me just to back up to the fourth chapter to bring you through where we have studied from since the earlier morning hour in our worship services. In the fourth chapter of St. Mark, you're going to see he begins at verse 1, as the word says, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. And he goes on here to talk about sowing and the various soils that seeds are sown into. And when he gets through talking about this and showing them these parables and what they are likened unto as the kingdom, he shares with them some interesting things. He then walks over, if you will, at the end of this teaching lesson to the multitudes. He makes the lesson personal and intimate to the disciples, because he now not only taught them as well as the multitude in parables, but now he wants to teach them experientially through the activation and the operation of their own faith being exercised. So you'd look also in the word and verse 35, and it says, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And he walks them through many things here, but one of the things that you're going to see is that Jesus, in his desire to lead them continuously from one level to the next level, from one degree of understanding to the next degree of understanding, the exercising of their faith and the operation of the word that he has placed in their hearing and in their seeing was so that they might become believers who are doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. So now he allows the sea to teach them a lesson in that he himself spoke a word that they should have adhered to by their faith, and knew that he said, let us pass over unto the other side. And the truth of the matter is, they somewhere between the time they launched and the time of the storm arising lost their faith in what Jesus Christ had said. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if Jesus orders your course and sets your destination, he also has the power to fulfill it. Your believing him will determine how you make the journey, but if he has already dictated it, it's going to happen whether you believe it or not. These disciples now recognize that this same Jesus who was teaching parables is now teaching life situations and activating their own faith and showing to them where their faith level really is. Amen. He then now, after they awaken him out of his sleep, out of his rest, because he was quite secure and confident as to where the ship was going to end, because he spoke its direction and destiny before they ever left the other side. So he is resting, and they awaken him by the storms, the winds that are blowing, the howling and the restless seas that are dumping waters into the boat. And none of that disturbed Jesus. The only thing that woke him up were the faith disciples who was on the ship with him. Now I want to say a word to us about understanding that God is so confident about his word that if he believe it, we ought not have a doubt about it. If he said it, he has the power to back it up, and all we have to do so that we would be insured of having a peaceful trip, no matter how much the storm rages around us, is to know that if he has said it, then that is all that is necessary for it to come to pass. Faith, faith, faith. So now after the storm has been quieted by Jesus' words, peace be still, they then marvel at the fact that the seas and the winds obey him, the power that he has over the sea. But now when they land to the other side, just keep on reading, all of this flows right into the text, they find out immediately after Jesus gets out of a ship, here comes a man who is filled with demonic activity in his life. The man is so filled with demonic activity that he spots Jesus afar off, and he hurries and he falls before him and he worships him. But it's a false sense of worship, because it's not really the man, it's the spirit on the inside in an accommodative worship service, because what they're asking and requesting of Jesus is that he does not send them out of the country, that he does not send them back to their spiritual place of habitation, which is hell, but to allow them to yet abide even in that country. And Jesus asked, what is your name? And he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then the Bible teaches about there being a whole lot of swine, about 2,000 feeding on a mountaintop. And then the spirits are dismissed out of the man. They go into about 2,000 pigs and rush down the side of a mountain into the water and choke and drown themselves, thus releasing the spirits out of the host of the pigs and then giving them liberty to find another host to habitate in again. But Jesus then spoke to this man, when those who had told the story about his great power now over the spirits, they then come rushing in and they see the man who they had called crazy, filled with demonic spirits, sitting at Jesus' feet with clothes on his body and in his right mind, and then they got scared. But like so many of us who are backwards in our thinkings, they got scared at the wrong point. They should have been rejoicing when the man who was aforetime crazy was now sane, sitting and clothed in his right mind. But they did not want Jesus nor the power he possessed to infiltrate their land, their lifestyle, and those things that they had attributed to what they called life to be changed. So they begged him to leave their coast. Jesus gets back into the ship and goes back to the side where he started out from. And when he gets out of the ship here, here is where we pick up now. Now, I want you to note here, Jesus was teaching the disciples and demonstrating his authority through different and various kinds of activities and situations, showing his authority, showing his power, and showing them that what he has, it is also made known and made readily available to the believers. Now, here's the situation where we pick back up now. Notice here, as the Bible says in verse 21 of the fifth chapter, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now look at what Jairus's confession and his petition is. Jesus, and he put down all of his pride and his position, because can I tell you, I don't care who you are, when you come to Jesus, you've got to humble yourself. If you want the Lord to do something, you have got to take the position of, Lord, I can't, but you can, and I'm humbling myself to you to do what I need you to do. And the only way Jesus is going to even hear you is if you humble yourself. Now look at him. He's humbling himself and he's petitioning. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Amen. He's seeking Jesus right at the point where all hope is just about gone. Now listen to this now. He says, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. And look at what he says, that she may be healed and she shall live. Now, he doesn't want her just to be healed. He wants her to heal and to live. And this word live in this context has everything to do with the fullness of life, not having any kind of handicaps or any kind of paralysis. He's talking about living with the full function of both the natural and the spirit being alive. Listen again to what the word says. It says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, Jesus is about to demonstrate his power over sickness. Disciples are still with him. Multitudes are still following him. And they are operating in the power and the flow of Jesus' ministry right now. Now, look at what the word says. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus. Listen at this now. Came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, she heard about Jesus Christ's healing ministry. And here, now look at this. Look at the difference. One man is begging him to come and touch his daughter. She's saying, because he is operating in intercessory faith, this woman is operating in personal faith. He says, if you'll just come and touch my daughter, she not only will be healed, but she's gonna live. This woman has said, I done been to every doctor who's touched me, and they ain't been able to help me. But now, if I can just touch his garments, I know I shall be made whole. Now, I want you to look at this now, because Jesus does not touch her. She activates her faith, which is the lesson Jesus was trying to get his disciples to learn when they originally left the first side, going over to the other side. Remember Jesus, when at the end of him calming the storm in the sea, says, where is your faith? You have no faith. He's upset about the fact that they didn't learn the lesson about faith. Now here comes a woman whose faith is full and functional, and she comes behind him. Everybody is thronging him, and the crowds are all around him. And the woman said, if I could just but touch his God, he ain't got to look at me. He ain't got to lay hands on me. If I could just touch him, I shall be whole. Look at this now. I want you to see this. Verse 29, and straightway
The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now listen at this, listen at this. Now I want you to see something here. The power that healed and the power that was moved from Jesus' body that touched the woman's body, both were activated by a touch. But it wasn't any touch, it was a touch of faith. He was the source, and she was in need of the power of the source. And if you will, her touch was just like someone plugging something into an electrical receptor. An electric receptacle that would give the power, furnish the power to unite again that function, appliance, whatever, with the flowing power that would cause it to work. That woman knew that if she could just plug into Jesus, listen, she knew on the inside immediately when she touched him that her fountain had dried up. But notice what the scripture said. He noticed on the inside of him that some power was missing. Y'all ought to hear me. Now listen at this now. Her faith was so immediate, her faith was so focused that it withdrew power from the source without ever being registered. Y'all gonna hear me. That was not an original request for healing from that woman to Jesus. She had not gone up into his face and said, "Lord, I've been sick for 12 long years, and I've been trying to get to you, so if you just lay your hand on me, I know I'll be healed." She didn't have no conversation with him. She just got up behind him and just pushed through the crowd and touched him. And before her hands could let go, she felt that fountain drying up on the inside of her. And Jesus said, "Wait. Come on, preacher." Can I tell you, he felt where the touch came from. He turned around. Look at what the Bible says now, because he knew it wasn't nobody in front of him touching him. The power surge came from behind him. That was some powerful faith. Jesus said, look at the word. I want you to see this. Look at the word. Look at the word. Look at the word. The Bible says again, verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing where? In himself. That virtue, that's power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now look at that. He didn't say, "Who touched me?" The woman said, "If I could but touch his garments." Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes? I can tell you right where you put your hands. Who touched my clothes?" Look at the word. Look at the word. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Nah, he didn't say, "Who touched me?" He said, "Who touched my clothes?" So y'all ought to hear me here. They're missing it because they can't even fathom what he's talking about. There are a whole lot of folk touching and pushing and moving on him, but they ain't moving him like this woman moved him. They were not, listen, they were not drawing virtue power, healing power from him because their faith was not in operation. You got a whole lot of folk who want to be around you, who want to touch and feel on you, but they're not there for the right reason. They were there to see. This woman was there to receive. And that's why I submit to you every Sunday morning, you got some folk who are here just to see. And they leave out just as empty as they came in. But you've got some folk who say, "If I could but just get to the house of the Lord and lay my burdens there, I know everything shall be all right." And they leave with the blessing they came for. Listen at this. Listen at this. Listen at this. Verse 32, and he looked round about to see, listen at this, her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, Listen now. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now that would have been enough right there for the disciples to catch hold to this thing called faith and see the power of Jesus Christ over sickness and how it rules and it reigns. But that wasn't good enough. Now listen at this. This was a healing on the way to a healing. Y'all ought to hear me here. Now I want to show you some things, and I'm going to back up here for a little while, but let me go on forward first. Verse 35 says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now here, while Jesus has just healed a woman by the virtue in him because of her faith, here comes now the bad news bearers from Jairus' house, telling Jairus, oh man, don't worry about it now. You can forget about it. Your daughter's already dead. Listen at this now. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Listen to me now. Only believe. In other words, Jesus was saying, now all you've got to realize is you can believe his report or you can believe my report. And my report says, do not be afraid, only believe. Now, why is he telling them only believe? Because he remembered the request of Jairus. Jairus' request was to heal his daughter that she may live. This first healing was not a healing because of a sickness that led to death. All sicknesses are not unto death. This first healing was so that the woman could be made whole, so that she could enjoy life, so she could be reinstituted in the community. But now this death that he was faced upon was a sickness unto death. It was a sickness that was making its way to death, even as the man requested. Jesus said, I'm going with you. When Jesus agreed to go, death and sickness still had to bow, because he had already committed, while the man walked in faith, that his daughter would not only be healed, but she would live. So here comes the bad news bearer and telling Jairus, they say, man, don't bother Jesus. Jesus hears what he say? Your daughter dead? Be not afraid. Only believe. Listen at what the Bible says, verse 37. And he suffered, listen at this now, no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Now, these were a bunch of women who were paid as wailers to mourn, and especially of rich and prominent people. They just, wherever folk were dying at, they made their living just going around. Now, you got some folk who just can cry on command. I want you to wail, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. I mean, you know, somebody ain't gonna mourn for you, so you gotta pay some people to mourn for you. But this was a natural thing. This was a part of their history and their culture. But nonetheless, these are paid, listen now, I wanna show you this. These are paid performers to mourn because they thought somehow in this process of mourning they would evoke the compassion of God. But listen at this, even though it was not sincere, even though it was not faithful, even though it was not real, it was a part of their ritualistic customs. Listen to what the Bible says. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. Verse 40 says, and they laughed him to scorn. Verse 38 says, listen again, that they wept and wailed greatly. Now, to show you they weren't sincere. Ah, Jesus, oh, oh, oh. What are y'all making all this ado for? What's wrong with you? The girl is not dead. She's just sleeping. Lord have mercy. They fall out laughing. Now, how sincere were they about their mourning? Listen at this now. Because in one verse, they are wailing and weeping. And in the very next verse, after Jesus says that it ain't what it looks like, those who have been in many situations that looked like it was the same, but Jesus wasn't there, couldn't figure out why it wasn't like it always was. The difference was that Jesus was in the house this time. And while death may have been death when Jesus wasn't there, death couldn't be death when Jesus came into the house, because he came into the house that the girl might live. Now listen at this, and I'm trying to bring this thing to a close. Here Jesus speaks because he's speaking supernaturally and they are thinking physically and naturally. They're professional mourners. They know when people die. They know when to cut the mourning off. He did. All right. That's their livelihood. They know how to check and make sure there's no breath in the body. So listen at this. The Bible says again, verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. It wasn't just a laughter that would suggest this thing is funny, but it was a laughter unto scorn. In other words, they were making fun at him. They were belittling him. They were saying to him, you ain't what you claim you are, and you can't do nothing about this situation. You are too late. She's dead. Now, they thought that Jesus was just trying to comfort Jairus and the family by saying the girl is not dead, she's just sleeping. While they had already sent word to Jairus that the girl didn't just die, she had been dead. And so they knew that she had been dead, not just a moment or so, but long enough to get the word to him that she had already died, and don't even bother about bringing Jesus back here to this place. But what they didn't know, that Jesus had already made the situation right before he got in the situation, because he had agreed that he would change the outcome of the situation. Now look again at what this word says. Again, it says, verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. Now, while they laughed and made fun and ridiculed him, he said, now I'm going to X you out of seeing a manifestation of a resurrection and a healing all at the same time. He put all the naysayers and the doubters and the disbelievers out of the room, and he went in with her father and her mother and Peter, James, and John.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.